said, my name is Christina, and I'm a member here at the ARC. Our pastors know how important it is to teach what the Bible says about finances, so I'm delighted to share with you today. Yes. The title of my message is, What I Have, I Give You. What I Have, I Give You. If you could please turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts is in the New Testament. It's just after the book of John. And I'll also have it on the screen in the Holman Christian Standard Version of the Bible. Looking at verses 1-5. Now Peter and John were going up together to the temple complex at the hour of prayer, at 3 p.m. And a man who was lame from birth was laid there and placed every day in the temple gate called Beautiful, so he could beg from those entering the temple complex. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for help. Peter, along with John, looked at him intently and said, Look at us. So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. Peter and John were going to the temple, and there was a crippled man begging for alms. Alms is a specific fund, separate from tithing, separate from offerings. It's a way that God provided. It was God's system for caring for widows, orphans, and the poor within the church. Alms can be given a portion at a time or in full every 3 years. And this was the place people came to receive alms. Peter and John almost certainly obeyed God and gave alms based on the description in Acts chapter 2. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. They sold their property and gave as people had need. They continued to meet together in the temple courts, and God added to their numbers daily. But as Peter and John are going to pray, and there was 3 times to pray every day, a man asks them for money. Rather than telling them how much he's already given to the needy, rather than saying, I'll give to you, but not today, rather than saying, I'm busy, or ignoring him altogether, Peter has compassion on this man. He sees him, he looks at him, and then he unleashes the power of God in this man's life. Verse 6, I don't have silver or gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then, taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles were strong. So he jumped, stood, and started to walk. He entered the temple complex with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. All the people saw. They saw him walking and praising God. They recognized he was the one who used to beg at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with awe and amazement at what had happened. Did you notice the punctuation in the statement? Does your Bible have a period or a colon after I give you? Because with the period, it's all about what I can give 3 times. But with the colon, and a lot of more translations have the colon, it directs you to what's coming next. The colon says, I give in the name of Jesus. It shows where the power comes from and how it comes. The next verses say that people ran to hear more. People who were in the women's court, people who were in the Gentiles' court had access. They wanted to hear what was going on. The kingdom of God. Oh, and Peter shared the gospel with them as a result of what just happened. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Peter changed this man's life forever. By giving him a moment of his time, Peter gave him what he had right in that moment, faith for his healing. The power of God was present to heal this man and bring him into the temple to worship. Amen. Do you know? Oh, sorry. This man went from begging money in a place where he could to a place where he could physically make money and give it to others. Yes, that's right. This was an outward display of the riches in Christ this man would receive. The early church was generous and it was giving, and so is this church. Do you know that there's a couple here today who came as a result of a testimony of healing? Our pastors made time and room for one more. That's the kind of people that they are. They steward resources so people in our community who are just outside the gate can come, can worship, can receive what they have and learn in Christ. If you're a Christian, that pleases God so much, by the way. If you're a Christian, do you know what you have in the name of Jesus? What God has freely given to you? That there's power when the Holy Spirit comes on you? That he can work in your life and do miracles and signs? That God has blessed you with money to spread the kingdom of God? If you want to read more, look in Ephesians chapter 1 or Matthew chapter 25. Jesus is clear: when you feed the hungry, when you welcome the stranger, when you clothe the naked, when you visit the sick and those in prison, you're doing it for him. You're doing it in his name. When you give to the least of these, there is an eternal reward. So always be ready with the hope that you have. If you find yourself in a situation like Peter and John, as a Christian, you always have something to give to them, whether you have money in your hand or not. We always have something to give because Jesus gave it all. Today, whether you have gold, silver, or two mites, we hope that you give cheerfully as you return the tithe and give alms, offerings, or blessings. There's three quick and easy ways to give, as you can see on the screen behind me. Ushers, if they'll please bring baskets to the front, the Bible says to bring your tithes and offerings. If you choose to give electronically, please just notate on your slip and present yourself to the Lord. If you're a member, there are envelopes in the seat back in front of you. If people have given so much, there are no more left, just raise your hand and an usher will bring you one more. Once you've given, please greet the guests around you. We want to share with them our culture of giving, just like the early church did in Acts chapter 2. Guests, you're so important to us. You're under no obligation to give today, unless the Lord tells you to do so. But don't be surprised when people come up to you and greet you with a high five, with a handshake. They may put a gift in your hand. Please accept that as given. The Bible says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. We want our treasure to be with you. So members, when you're ready, please come and give to the Lord. Present yourself and greet one another. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we've brought these tithes and offerings. We return them to you. Thank you, Lord, for doing more with them than we could ever do for your kingdom, that it would grow far and wide, that people who haven't heard the name of Jesus yet would hear it as a result of our obedience and our faith. You give us the ability to get wealth. We return it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in welcoming to the stage a man unashamed of the gospel, Pastor Jake.
Well, hallelujah. Thank you so much, Christina. That was amazing. Hey, would you all just stand and give Jesus a big shout with me? Hallelujah. Just thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Amen. You can have your seats. Man, I thought somebody came up here and farted, but somebody was just eating hard-boiled eggs up here. Thank God. Whew. Thought it was a foul spirit. Yeah, I did say that in church. It's all right. Don't worry about it. You can have fun in church because you know you were thinking it too if you smell it. All right. I've got a couple of things. Before we turn the kids loose, I want to give you a couple of things. First of all, today, if you didn't see me up front in worship, it's because I was in the back worshiping my heart out, and I was just helping out with the soundboard today, helping to continue training and stuff. But I just want to say that it's a really different perspective standing back there. You get to see all kinds of things that you don't normally get to see when you don't turn around. And I just want to give a huge recognition to Douglas Roche. He is doing such an amazing job as an usher. I mean, everybody that comes in the door, he's giving them a hug, giving them a handshake, giving them a kiss on the cheek, not the dudes, but just welcoming them. Man, you are doing an amazing job, Douglas. He's exemplifying the spirit of this house. And at just, what is it, 17? Is it 17 now? 17 years old. He's got the heart of this house, and he's passing that along to everybody that comes through our door. And I'm really proud of you for doing that, Doug. Great job. Great job. I also want to, first of all, before I say this, would you give yourselves a big round of applause? So for those of you that have been here over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about wanting to raise money to be able to help to buy a farm for some of the pastors that we're working with in India. I'm working with about 30 of them currently in India across a very rural part that's a lot of forests, lots of terrorists there that don't like Christians. They don't like white Christians. They don't like anybody that has anything to do with Christianity. That includes Indians that have things to do with Christianity. And when I go there in February, I'm actually going to be baptizing a number of believers, and we will go out into the forest, into a creek or a spring that comes up from the ground and creates a little pool and a little bit of a river out there, even in the dry season. And we will baptize people in the middle of the forest because otherwise people will come and try to kill them while we are doing that. They'll try to kill me for baptizing them too. And so it's not a safe place to go, but they want to establish a foothold right in their town of Dantewada. And we've been believing God to be able to help them. We were setting a call out there and a goal out there, which was a little bit more than was just necessary, of $10,000. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been receiving offerings and everything specifically to go to that farm. I want to give you the total as of what I got last week. More maybe has come in and everything. I'll tell you in just a moment what we'll do about that. But this is a total. As of the end of last week, we have raised $11,258.54. Come on, Jesus. Woo! Man, I'm so excited about that. I am pumped about that. If you have not given and you want to give, just go ahead and give. We'll make sure that it gets over there. If it doesn't get over there in the lump sum that we're gonna get over to them electronically, I'll make sure that I take it with me when I go in February. And don't give because there's a need. I mean, that's a good reason to give, but give because the Holy Spirit tells you to give. That's another great way to give. The Bible says, as you purpose in your heart to give, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Tonight, I'm actually going to have an opportunity. I train these pastors every once in a while whenever they get together. Usually every couple of months or so, they come in from all over the place, out of the forest and everything, gather together in one pastor's house, and they have an all-night prayer and fasting. And so they do that right after church. So they had church, it's yesterday, our time. So it's Monday today over there, and they're gathering together tonight. So I'm going to be getting together with them at 8:30 our time this evening after a very long day of everything else I'm doing. We're going to have a little bit of a teaching and training, and I'm hopefully going to get to tell them that we've raised the money to be able to help them to buy the farm. And so I'm going to hopefully, if I can get it technologically together, I'm going to see if I can record my screen so that you can see the interaction and so you can just see their precious faces. They are amazing people, and we're believing God to gain a foothold in that city so the gospel will spread like wildfire. Can you say amen to that? Well, I'm thankful for all the kids that have given. If you read through the praise reports and the prayer requests and everything, man, Ofena, I'm so proud of you for the way that you gave last week. She didn't want to give what she had because it was just a little bit. But when I referenced that woman that gave two mites, two half pennies in the offering, it spurred her to give what she had. And I promise you that God saw that, and God's not going to leave you alone about that. He's going to repay you. I promise you that much. And I'm so proud of all of you that have chosen to give either to your own hurt or to your own, maybe giving up some Starbucks or whatever it else that you would normally buy. But thank you for partnering with the vision and with the heart of this house to reach another country for Jesus Christ. You guys are amazing. Would you give yourselves another round of applause? We'll continue to give you guys updates again. If you'd like to continue to give, you're more than welcome to. Just so that you know, this is not a plug to do this. We have not been doing this on a regular basis. But if for any reason the Lord speaks to you to support a pastor over there, just so that you know, it takes about $50 a month to support pretty much their living expenses for a month. And so what a great way to be able to partner with the anointing and to be able to release them, to be able to minister in the anointing and in the gospel and not have to worry about their families or their finances. There's nothing extra at the end of $50, but that's about what it takes for a pastor to live in those rural areas. So if the Lord speaks to your heart and that's something that you want to do, we'll make sure that it gets to them on a monthly basis. You can be assured of that. Nothing will come to our church and for our expenses. It'll all go exactly where it's designated, okay? Well, kids class teachers, we want to turn you loose over onto this side here to get ready to receive these wonderful arrows of the Lord. And kids, you can go ahead and meet your kids' class teachers. Father, we just pray that you would bless these teachers and all those that are helping, even the youth helpers. God, we thank you, God, that you're helping them already to pour out of the cup that you've given them and that they've been so full with. Lord, we ask that you would infuse your word into them and help them to become the men and women of God that you're calling them to be. We call them blessed and safe and protected in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Well, I'm so glad that you guys are here today. I've got a phenomenal message for you, not because it's my phenomenal message, but because it's straight from the heart of God. Now, I want to talk to you today because sometimes I know that we think about church from our own paradigm. Sometimes we come from a church tradition where we find out that people go to church out of necessity or out of obligation. Sometimes there's so many activities that go on at a church that they almost compete with one another. How many of you live a busy life? I'm going to raise two hands on that one for myself. You live a busy life. I understand that. In fact, we've got some folks that are not here today that want to be here today, but there's things like sports tournaments going on, and the kids got to go to their sports tournaments. I mean, we get that, you know, and we realize that there's a season for that. There's a time for that. We also understand that there are some people that may choose to prioritize their lives differently, and that's totally cool. But, you know, just because someone isn't here, I want to be careful how I say this, because I don't want to release you out of a commitment that you ought to have. But we understand that there are some people that are fully committed to the house of God, and yet they have to be somewhere else. You know what that's like? Like, you got to be at work, or you have to be at an open house, or you have to be at your kid's tournament, or whatever. We understand that there are some people that are absolutely 100% committed to the house of God, and yet they can't be there sometimes. However, there are some other people that look for every excuse that they can possibly have to not be in the house of God. Let's not be in that boat. I just want you to understand, we get it. We live this life too. We walk alongside it. And yes, it is our job to be here, but it's our pleasure to be in the house of God. And I so look forward to being in the presence of the Lord. I believe that anything is possible in the presence of God. Would you look at somebody and say, anything is possible in the presence of God? See, that's why when things are not going right, you know where you should be? In the presence of God. You know, when things are going really well, you know where you should be? In the presence of God. When you're not sure how things are going, you know where you should be? In the presence of God. Why? Because anything is liable to happen in the presence of God. If you're sick, you should be in the presence of God. If you're struggling, you should be in the presence of God. There is everything that you need in the presence of God. Amen? If you're not convinced of that, you should tell that to yourself. I mean, you should write it down 100 times a day. Everything I need is found in the presence of God. Everything I need is found in the presence of God. Everything I need is found in the presence of God. And you just rehearse that to yourself over and over again until you finally believe it. Do you know that your life will move in the direction of your most dominant thought? Let me say that again. Your life will move in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. So that means that if your most dominant thought is a thought of anger, your life is going to move in that direction. If your life or your most dominant thought is a thought of lack, your life is going to tend in that direction. If your thoughts are thoughts of strife and controversy and drama, your life is going to move in that direction. You notice that some people, that they always talk about drama, they always got drama? You know why? Because they create that for themselves by having their most dominant thought take them in that direction. So if you want to tend in the direction of Jesus, can I tell you that Jesus has got to become your dominant thought? So life comes up at you. Now, this is not in the notes. Don't even look at the notes. Don't worry about it. I'm telling you this because somebody needs this morning. I'm talking to you prophetically today. So when life is coming at you and everything is striving and saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. You got to look at your situation. You got to look at me. You got to pay attention to me. Your choice is to be able to put your dominant thought upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You see, that's the reason why Jesus gave you this thing called free will. So you could make a choice about what you think about. Nothing should be able to tell you what you get to think about. You get to think that. You get to choose that. That is the power that God put on the inside of you. So when life is struggling, it's striving for your attention, guess what? Get your eyes off of that and get your eyes on Jesus. Your life will tend in the direction of your most dominant thought. How do you make it your most dominant thought? One of the best ways to do that is to give it the most time. Most people, if you just simply, you've probably heard it before, show me a person's 5 closest friends and I will show you the person. You ever heard that one? Something like that? Well, show me where someone invests the most time, effort, and energy, and I will show you their priority. It's true. For some of us, it's work, work, work. For some of us, it's money, money, money. For some of us, it's family, family, family. For some of us, it's beach, beach, beach. For some of us, it's Jesus all the time. See, and your life will tend in the direction of your most dominant thought. How do you do that? Check this out, right? Jesus says that we should give all the tithe to the Lord, right? A tithe of your day, which is 24 hours, would be 2.4 hours. If you would give 2.4 hours of your time, thought, effort, and energy to the Lord every day, I guarantee you your life would be different. Oh, yeah. I promise you that. You cannot possibly invest that much time into Jesus without your life changing. If people invest that much time into sports, they get pretty stinking good at sports. If they invest that into their life and into their marriage, they get pretty darn good at their marriage. But I'll tell you what, if we would give a tithe of our effort, energy, thought, maintenance of our thought, our dominant thoughts to the Lord, our life would never be the same again. I don't know who needed that, but if that was you, that was for you. Congratulations, you pulled it out of me. I want to talk to you today about our purpose. This is the first part of a message, a mini-series on our purpose. This is going to be kind of a setup day to set you up with what purpose is, what it's all about. And I want to talk to you really about your purpose. But I also want to end up talking about the intersection of your purpose and the purpose of this church. There is an intersection that takes place that is very important to your life. Today in prayer, Lekka was talking about, if you missed it, you should have been here. But I'm going to give you the backstory just a little bit. He talked about how many of us are too full. We're too full. But I thought I'm supposed to come and be full. Yes, you are. But you're also supposed to be pouring out as much as possible. And we should be refilling. We should never just stay full all the time because we're not giving out. We get stagnant and stale like that. But here's the thing. Many of us have sought to be full and we've become full, but then we haven't been giving out. I want to tell you that the intersection of your purpose and the purpose of this church in a lot of ways is that point of dispensation. It's that point of pouring out. It's the point of not just simply attending and receiving, but it's a point of dispensing what is on the inside of you. So that's what I'm going to be kind of be talking about in these next number of minutes, as well as in the next week or 2 weeks. Let me start off by defining what purpose is. What is purpose? This is not a complete and total exhaustive definition and explanation about what purpose is. However, this is what purpose is. The dictionary definition of purpose, somewhat general, it says this: the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. The reason why something exists. Here's a working definition. What it means is, how do you apply that? How do you make that definition work for you in your life and where the rubber really meets the road? A working definition of purpose is this: your purpose is the common thread, or the purpose for anything is the common thread throughout its life and existence that's found in everything that you do, and without which there would be no reason for you to exist. Let me give you a short visual picture. Can you imagine if you have a microwave? What is the purpose of a microwave? It is to heat things up. Am I right? No, it's not to start bombs with aluminum foil or anything. It is to heat things up, right? Now, what happens if your microwave dies? Like, the clock still goes, but it doesn't heat up the food anymore. What would you do with that microwave? Would you just keep it around because everyone needs a microwave on their counter? Even if it doesn't work, it no longer heats food, it just counts down from 5 minutes or whatever. You would not keep that around. You know why? Because the reason for its existence has departed. Now that microwave is just a box that counts down. It no longer is fulfilling its purpose, and its reason for existence has gone away. So you will take that and put it into the bulk pickup bin. You'll throw it away, discard it, put it on the side. All right, a condensed understanding. If you want to condense it all down, how do I get to the heart of what purpose is? It would be to be able to simply complete this one single, simple sentence. I exist blank. I exist blank. And you fill in the blank with the rest of a simple sentence. If we cannot do that, we're a little bit missing on what God has for our life. If you went to a microwave and asked a microwave, "Microwave, why do you exist?" The microwave would say, "I exist to heat up your food until you burn your mouth." But you see, many of us cannot say why we exist. We know what we do, but we don't know why we're here. I think it is so important for us to know the purpose and the reason for our existence. Otherwise, without a purpose, there's no reason for us to be here. I believe that you have a purpose. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Look, being and doing anything other than what we were created for, that's our purpose, will lead to feelings of hollowness and obsolescence. We'll feel like there's no reason for us because there's no reason for us if we're not living according to our purpose. You know, the world says it this way, right? You can be anything you want to be. How many of you have heard that? You can be anything you want to be. And that's meant to be an encouragement that you can do anything. But when you believe that you are authored and that you are created by a creator for his purpose, you cannot say you can be whatever you want to be. In fact, you can do and be anything that you want to, but only fulfilling your purpose will bring you fulfillment in life. That's the only thing that will fulfill you. So you hear that there are people that are rich, that are famous, whatever, and they've got all this money, all this wealth, these beautiful homes and cars, and they're still missing something inside. You know why? Because that's not what they were made for. They weren't meant to simply put on concerts. They were meant to glorify their creator. Your life is meant to glorify the one who created you. What's the whole purpose of art hanging on the wall? It glorifies the one who made it. Otherwise, no one would care if it were made by Da Vinci. No one would care if it were made by Michelangelo. But people care, don't they? In fact, they put zeros as a result of that because it becomes valuable based on who created it. Can I just tell you that when you're created by the God of the universe, there are zeros that follow after you? You are valuable beyond comprehension. So, where does our purpose come from? Purpose does not come from what we do. I want to make that super clear. Our purpose does not come from what we do. In other words, a microwave's purpose does not come from what it does. What it does comes from its purpose. Purpose is essential. It is an essential element of who we are. In fact, you would say that it is essential to our being. You know what essential means? So like essential oils are oils that in many ways have been distilled down. All of the impurities, all of the extras, all the water and everything has been kind of like boiled away until the essential smells, until the essential compounds of that oil are all that remains. Nothing extra. So when we take you down to your essence, to the very core of who you are, and nothing else exists that isn't you. You remember last week I talked about the statue, like the David, that it's like, how did you arrive at that carving or that sculpture? Well, it's very easy. All I did was I removed everything that was not the sculpture. You see, God wants to remove everything that's not you. He wants to strip everything away that's not you. But what if you like those things? What if you like the things that are hanging on? The Bible says, let us set aside the weights that so easily beset us. In other words, all the things that's not you, all they are weights and burdens holding on to you so that you cannot get where you need to go. I don't have time to go into it, but you can research a little bit on your own about like hot air balloons. And they've got all those sandbags and stuff around them, right? And they can only go so high with all those weights on them. No matter how much you heat up that air, there's no way it can get to the height that it's meant to attain until you start to cut off the weights. They're not necessarily sins. They're just things that are not necessary. God wants to remove the things that are not necessary from our life. By the way, do not look at your spouse right now. They are necessary. They are your flesh. Amen? Our purpose doesn't come from what we do. It is an essential element of who we are. Listen, every human being has a God-designed, God-given and God-empowered purpose, whether they are saved or unsaved. Do you know that people that are not here in church today, that don't attend church anywhere, that don't even name the name of Jesus, have a purpose that God put upon them when he created them? Every one of them has a purpose. That's why they need to find their maker, so that they can understand the purpose of why they were created. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 in the King James Version of the Bible says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know that? An expected end. You know what an expected end is? It is your destiny. It is your purpose. It is the end of the race that you're running, but that purpose carries you as a thread along the entire race course. God knows where you're meant to end up. I want to give you a few examples real quickly, about people in the Bible who had a purpose. Adam and Eve had a purpose. By the way, the purpose that they, or the way they ended up was not the way that their purpose was originally created, just so that you know that. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says this. Now, you'll want to highlight some things in this verse. It says, "Then God blessed them," talking about Adam and Eve, "and God said to them, be fruitful." I want you to underline that word or highlight it that says be. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. I want you to highlight or underline that word that says fill. Fill the earth and subdue it. Then it says have dominion over the fish of the sea. I want you to highlight or underline, score, whatever, that word that says have. Have. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Before I go back through this passage, notice that it's in this order, be, do, have. Be, do, then have. Many people mess up that order. The Bible is not accidental in any way. The Bible says that every scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's written in this order, I believe, for a specific purpose. That we are first to be, then we do, then we have. It's not do so that we have, so that we can be. You see, what happens is when we screw up that order, we think that our purpose is about our doing. But you're not a human doing, you've probably heard. You are a human being. We're not meant to be a human doing. We're meant to be a human being. Even within the church, I know that it's been so common that people have been almost harvested as a human resource. I don't really like that term very much, human resources, because all resources will be consumed. I prefer the term like people, like humans. Right? Can you imagine if you actually went to the door of that department in your job place and it was like people, not human resources, like people? Oh my goodness, you mean they're not just resources, they're actually people? Yes, and if you treat people like people, they will want to be with you a little bit longer than if you treat them like a resource. I guarantee it. You see, it's about being, then doing, then having. In fact, everything that we do should proceed out of who we be. I know that's bad grammar. Everything that we do should proceed out of who we are. But we must be, then do, then we will have. Can you say amen to that? God's command and purpose for Adam, by the way, extended to Eve because they were one flesh. Now, this might be interesting. I don't have time to go into it, but you might want to think about this. If you're thinking about getting married, your purpose is going to mirror your spouse's purpose because you are one flesh. How can you have one and be two? That's not how this thing works. Anything with two heads is a monster, right? It's a freak of nature. You can't have two heads in a marriage. That's not the way that God created it to be. And if the person that you're considering marrying is completely on a different wavelength than you are, they're like, oh, you can do your thing. I'm going to do my thing and we'll just have a prenuptial. Let me tell you, you are headed for the rocks. Not in a good way. You better find out what their purpose is. And you better know what your purpose is to find out whether or not your purposes are compatible. Otherwise, you will not be compatible and things will be difficult for you. By the way, the Bible says anyone that gets married will have problems. Why start out with a problem? You already gonna have problems. Why already know that you're planning for problems? Don't do that. That's a bad setup. You want to start good so that when problems arise, you can just get through them. Amen. Amen? Now, if it's too late and you already married somebody, congratulations. You are going to get your purposes in line in Jesus' name. God will rectify that and will help you if you come under His Holy Spirit. Praise God that we can be born again. Amen? As children of God, and Adam and Eve's purpose is also our purpose, because God doesn't change His mind regarding the purpose of His creation. You ever hear people say that God changed His mind? I've heard that a lot. Oh, God told me to go over here. Oh, but then I don't go because God changed His mind. He wanted me to go over there. No, look. Either you heard wrong or you're just being disobedient. The Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but not His word. His word will remain forever. The Bible says that God is not variable. He is not light and dark. He is not oscillating between opinions. You can find scripture after scripture. I could stand here for quite a while and pontificate on the bunch of different scriptures that tell you that God is not changing. But people say that God changes. No, my friend. We were wrong. We need to get on board with God's plan. Do you know that that means that God's plan and purpose for Adam and Eve to be, do, have is the same for you and for me? That our job is the same job that Adam and Eve had in the garden, to have dominion, to spread the garden, to fill the earth, so that God's dominion and God's reign, the garden of God, would spread over across the entire earth. Same call, same purpose. Every one of us comes back to that in some way, shape, or form. Although yours may be a little bit more specific than that. Did you know that Jesus had a purpose? He didn't come here accidentally, my friend. He had a purpose. Jesus even knew that He had a purpose. He said it a few times. But let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. You guys getting something out of this?
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The stated purpose from God Almighty through His messenger, the angel, says this: "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins." Jesus' purpose, even by His very name, was to save His people, listen, His people from their sins. How many of you know what the name Jesus means? Anybody know? Just a couple of us. Isn't that a tragedy? I'm sorry that I haven't preached this sooner. The name Jesus means this. It means Jehovah saved. Jehovah saved. That means that by His very name, Jesus, Jehovah saved, the Christ, the anointed one and His anointing, came to rescue and save us if we're His people from our sins.
Amen.
It's amazing. Check this out. John 3:16. Let me just unpack a scripture for you real quick. John 3:16. You guys, most of you already know it. For God so loved the world. If you know it, you can say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I know I quoted it in the King James. That's in me. Sorry. But check it out, right? It says this: whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You might say it this way: whoever believes in Him would be saved. But here's the problem. Jesus came to save His people from their sins. But then it goes on to say, whoever believes, so check this out. This is how you put these scriptures together. This is what it means. This also means that whoever had to become his people, right? Whoever is going to be saved had to become his people because he was going to save his people, not whoever. He was going to save his people from their sins. Are you guys getting that? That's how you put these scriptures together. So whoever, everybody, whoever needs to become his people so they can be saved from their sins. Is that Bible? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Check this out. This is what else God says, or what Jesus says about his purpose. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. I'm going to go quickly. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus knew he wasn't come to find things that were found. He came to seek and to save what was lost. Luke 5, 32. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus didn't go around preaching to all the righteous folks. He went around preaching to all the sinners. That's why you always found him with sinners, because they were the ones that needed to hear, your sin is going to kill you. You need to become my people so I can save you from your sins, because my name is Jehovah Saved. John chapter 1, verse 3 and 8. By the way, that scripture says, Matthew 15, 24. Sorry, guys, back there. Matthew 15, 24. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You notice that in Jesus' earthly ministry, he wasn't going to Babylon. He wasn't going to Egypt to preach the gospel. He was in Egypt, but he wasn't there to preach the gospel. He wasn't going to all these different places. Even the Samaritans, the half-breeds, barely even got any attention. Just a couple of people tapped in to the presence of God. But Jesus went exclusively to the house of Israel. Everybody else, his apostles, went elsewhere after that. But Jesus knew his assignment. You know, there are times when people tell me, oh, Pastor Jake, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Hey, look, if God's calling you to do that, you do that. But I know my calling. I know my purpose. I know the purpose of this church. Don't try to take me off track. That's a great thing that you're talking about, but that is not my purpose. Jesus had all these people, the entire world needed to be saved. Am I right? Yeah. And Jesus said, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I need to fulfill my purpose because I'm called to the house of Israel. Amen? Yeah. Don't let anybody take you away from your purpose. When you know your purpose, stick to your purpose. Stick to your guns. Do not get pulled away. John chapter 1, verse 3, 1 John 3 and 8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Man, I like that. Some people think about Jesus like this weak, frail, sissified, just like talk nice to everybody all the time kind of a dude. No, Jesus came to destroy some stuff. He came to break it down. See, like, as a guy, I find that very viscerally exciting. I get to destroy things? Absolutely. You can hate the devil all you want to. You can punch him in the face if you want to. I like that. I like being able to be aggressive towards the devil. Some people say, you shouldn't talk about the devil like that. That's not very nice. Look, he is my enemy. He is trying to destroy me. I am not going to be nice to him. I'm going to give him no quarter because I'm here on a purpose, and that's to get some people saved. I will not let the devil stop me. Sometimes you got to be not nice to the devil. It's okay to tell the devil, shut up. Parents, I hope that you tell your kids that sometimes, even if you don't believe in that word in your house or whatever, you can find another way. Tell him, shut your mouth, devil. Because you know all he is he's just a bunch of talk. That's all he's got. He doesn't have any power over you. But he does have a big old mouth, I'll tell you that much. And sometimes we got to tell him that he needs a big, big old bag of shh in your life. Amen. Amen? Amen? I think some people listen to the devil a lot more than they listen to Jesus, and it ought not to be so. Yeah. Sorry, am I being too aggressive with you? You guys okay? Yeah. All right, good. Jeremiah had a purpose. See, Jesus knew his purpose, and he stuck to his purpose. We've got to know this. He wasn't here for everybody. He was here for a few. And he was here to set some things in motion based upon his purpose, that if he didn't fulfill it, the rest of the world would be sunk. Jeremiah had a purpose, real quickly. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5 says this: before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. That means set apart by a boundary. That's what that word sanctified means. I set you apart by a boundary. Why aren't there too many? How come I don't have so many friends? Because a person of too many friends comes to ruin, Jeremiah. You are set off by a boundary. Why is it that I feel different than everybody? Because there is a boundary around your life. Because you have a purpose. Because you have a call. Because you have something important. Like, look, the sun is shining down on all of us. Not in this building right now, but it is shining down, right? But you notice that there are not fires starting spontaneously outside because of the force of the sun. But when you take a magnifying glass and you take, I mean, even that much of the sunlight, right? And you take that and you do what's called collimating, right? And you focus that light down to a little beam. You can start a fire. Because you took that and you focused it down. Your life, my friend, is like that. That you've got all of this energy, if you will, from God Almighty himself pouring down into your life. And if it's diffuse, it does nothing. But when you take that and you focus it down to the essential purpose for which you are created, my friend, you will start fires. Amen. The Bible says, oh, what a little fire, or what a big matter a little fire kindleth. It says that it only takes a spark to set an entire forest on fire. See, I don't need to be a forest fire. I just need to be a spark if that's what God's calling me to be. I might not be big and famous and people aren't paying money to take life-size pictures and put me in their lobby of their church. I don't care. I'm not called to have life-size portraits of me in people's churches. I'm called to set the world on fire. And all it takes is a spark. So I'm happy to be a spark. Call me Sparky if you want to. I don't care. I just want to fulfill the destiny that God has called me to. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. See, from the very womb, Jeremiah was called as a prophet to the nations. Do you know when he came out of his mom's womb that he didn't come out saying, Shaddai, Shaddai, thus saith the Lord. He came out probably crying, like most babies do. He probably came out wanting to nurse. He probably wanted to go back into the womb because it was way more comfortable in there. But you know what? He was called and designed and destined to be a prophet to the nations. I want to take a quick side road, and I know it's not on your notes here. You'll just want to write it down. Just because you're called to something eventually doesn't mean that you're operating in it right now. You may be called as an apostle or whatever like that, and you can come up to me all you want to in this church, and you can tell me, Pastor Jake, I'm called to be an apostle, and now you need to listen to me. Look, I'm sorry, but that's not the way that this thing works. We can go through the doctrine of it all, but just because you're called to be an apostle doesn't mean you're being an apostle. We need to occupy that office eventually. I know that many of you won't understand that. That's okay. Put it in your back pocket. One of these days, you'll get it. It's important to understand that just because you're called to drive one day doesn't mean you get to drive now. Does that make sense? Just because you're called to be married one day doesn't mean you get to do married things right now. I'm telling you, that is one. I don't know why I'm on this. But this is for somebody. Listen, if you are going to get married to somebody, then that's awesome. That is amazing. But listen, do not do married things until you're married. Because that is the biggest lie that the devil wants to tell us. It's like, you know how I know this? It's called experience. You know why? Because I was not married once. And entering into that covenant, on that threshold of entering into the covenant of marriage, temptation becomes very real. And I'll tell you exactly what the devil will say, because the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. The Bible says that every temptation that has befallen man is common to man. You know what that means? That means everybody go through the same thing. So this is exactly what he'll say. You're going to be married anyway. You can do married things already. No, if it's that way, then God would have made it that way. But be do have. Be, do, have. When we get the order out of order, what happens is we get the promises out of order. When we do the thing out of order, we end up with consequences that we're not prepared for. And there are things that will take place in our heart and in our life, soul ties and things that will take place that we were not meant to have, because there is a specific, special, and tangible anointing for marriage. I don't know, again, I don't know why I'm saying this. I'm just saying this out of the unction of the Holy Spirit. Listen, be, then do, then have. Here's what Paul says as advice to that. I'm going to get off this if the Lord will let me. Here's what Paul says. If you can, don't get married. It's easier. No trouble. But if you are in the state of lust and temptation, get married. He didn't say wait a year and get married and give in to temptation for a year first. He said get married, so that you can erase the temptation thing and do it right. Now, I know I'm probably getting into people's business. It's not because I know your business. God knows your business. I don't even want to know. I don't even want to say this right now. I'm just being obedient. It's uncomfortable. You're all looking at me. But it's the truth, and I will. If there's one thing that you're going to get at this church, you're going to get the truth. In Jesus' name. Even if that means you leave, I mean, whatever. I love you too much to not tell you the truth. You, my friend, have a purpose. You have a purpose. Not just Adam and Eve, not just Jesus, not just Jeremiah. You have a purpose. Say this. Say, I have a purpose.
I have a purpose.
Did you know that you're right? You have a purpose. You totally do. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. I know that people don't usually use this to talk about purpose, but listen. To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And if you grew up in the same era as I did with the Time Life commercials, you would know that there's a song that goes with this. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn. You know the commercial. It's Bible. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. So check this out. You have a purpose. There's a time for that purpose. You know when that time is? I will give you an exact amount. 70 years or 80 years by reason of strength. There's a time for that purpose. Do you realize if you understand who God is, then you have to realize that you could have been born at any point throughout human history, but you wasn't. You could have been born in somewhere else in the world, but you wasn't. You could have been born at another, you could have been born in the Civil War and had your bones hacked off with a bone saw, but you weren't, thank God. You know when you were born? Whenever you were born. You know what that means? That means that God has a time for your purpose under heaven. All of human history, you could have been born any time, but no. God had a specific time in mind for you. Let me tell you a little bit about the time that you're born in. You are born in a time when there are more people alive and sucking air on this planet that have lived all throughout the collective amount of human history. There are more people living today than are dead in the ground. You know what that tells me? That tells me that I have the possibility of having more influence over humanity than ever before in history. I live in a time when I can get the gospel all the way around the world to anyone that's got internet. Before, I used to have to walk it. Thank God I don't have to go everywhere, but I can get on the internet with India and I can actually see them this evening. I live in a time of human history when people are ripe for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that because the Bible said if I would just lift up my eyes, that I would see that the fields are white unto harvest, but that the laborers are few. I live in a time where the laborers are few. That makes me valuable because I'm a laborer in the house of God. You know what I'm saying? Like, you live in such an exciting moment of human history that if you would just partake in your purpose, oh my goodness. People, the Bible says that people that died before Jesus Christ longed. They longed to see that moment, that day when Jesus would come, and they couldn't see into it. Angels were dying to see what was, not dying, but, you know, they're eternal. So, I mean, they were desperate to see what God was going to do through this guy, through the Son of God. The Bible says that all of creation groans, waiting in anticipation, waiting for the manifestation. That means the uncovering of the sons and the daughters of God. That's you. Yeah. All of creation, do you understand that?
Yeah.
All of creation is waiting for you to be who you're supposed to be. They're waiting for you to walk in your purpose. All of creation is waiting for us to step into the call and the purpose of God for your life. So you've missed 25 years, 26 years, 40 years, 60 years of your purpose. Run faster in it.
Yep. Amen.
I know that stuff's not in the notes. Sorry. Can I just tell you that the Ark Christian Church has a purpose? It has a purpose. You know what the purpose of our church is? If you know it, say it with me. To the glory of God, we exist to serve by showing the way. Not just a way, the way. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
We exist to serve by showing the way. That is the entire purpose of this church. You take that away from us, we ought to close shop. We are not here as in a humanitarian organization. We are not here as a religious program. We are not here as a babysitting service. We are not here to occupy hours on a Sunday morning. We are here to the glory of God to serve by showing the way. That's why we're here. That's why this church exists. That's why it was created, founded, and why it continues today. That's why we're still at it 20 years down the road. Hasn't changed. It is the common thread that goes through everything that we do. And if you take that away, we might as well close the doors of this church. Listen, every choice that you make either takes you toward your purpose or away from your purpose. I mean, this is not hard to understand, right? You have a destination. If your destination is Krispy Kreme, but you go in a direction not Krispy Kreme, you ain't never going to get there. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's just simply this. You can either go towards your destiny. Hopefully your destiny is not Krispy Kreme. But you can either go toward your destiny or away from your destiny. There is no neutral. There's either black or white. There's either good or evil. There's no neutral. You don't just get to float around and just make it up as you go along. Your purpose is important. Listen. Because of this, for this reason that we can either go toward or away from our purpose, we check all of our activities against the litmus test of our purpose. So I know that maybe you've got great ideas, and that's great. I hope that you continue to bring those wonderful ideas to us. Now listen, please don't get offended if we say something to the effect of, you know, that is an amazing idea. And I think maybe God is telling you that you should do that. But that is not something that at this time that we are going to do as a church. Does that make sense to you? Because there are some things that God calls us to do as individuals and not as a church. Sometimes your individual purpose is very specific and God is calling you to do it, to invest in it yourself. I'll give you a small example. A number of years ago now, I felt like the Lord wanted me to go and pray for people outside of the walls of the church. So I went and I bought a tent. And I went and I printed up signs on my own money. And then I went and printed up brochures on my own money. And then I took my own time and I went out on my own, not endorsed by the church, not wearing a badge or anything that says pastor, nothing. I went out as a Christian. I went out as Jacob Stewart. Onto the side of Kamehameha Highway, right up here, and I set up a tent with banners on it that says, Jesus still does miracles. And I set up signs that said, if you need prayer and you want prayer for a miracle, you can just come in here. And people would come and pull on the side straight from the highway and come in, and I would pray for them on the side of the highway. The church did not sponsor me, did not pay for me, did not encourage me, nothing. Why? Because it wasn't a church activity. It was a Jacob Stewart activity. I want to tell you that some things that God is going to burden you in your heart to do, they're for you to do. But there are some things that are collective that we do as this body of believers because we have a purpose. You guys understanding that? You getting something out of that? Can I just tell you, whatever God tells you to do, do. Whatever he tells you to do, do. Because faith without works is dead, being alone. We're not going to do everything that God is calling you to do, but we will do whatever God is calling us to do. Can you say amen with that? I hope that you're excited about that. You want to be a part of a church that knows who they are. I've been in churches that have identity crisis, and they do a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this church and a little bit of that church, and they don't even know who they are anymore. I grew up doing a little bit of theater, and I'll tell you that I used to think that there were some people in theater. I'm like, they're the most confused people in the world. They've been doing theater so long, played so many roles, they don't even know who they are anymore. It's true. Don't play a role. Be who you're supposed to be. Be, do, have. By the way, if you are a part of this church, your purpose is tied up with this church. Let me show you. In scripture, it says this in Psalm chapter 68, verse 6. It says this, God sets. Okay, wait a minute. Who sets?
God.
Who sets?
God.
God sets. So you mean that people can't just join any church that they want to join?
Right.
Well, they can, but that doesn't mean God set them there. God sets. God sets the solitary in families. This also means that we're not meant to be rogue Christians. So even though you have a purpose, even though you have a plan, even though God is sending me to the nations of the world, that doesn't mean that I get to just be out there on my own. I'm a part of a family as well. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Listen, God sets, and some people say no. God's like, I want you here. They're like, no. Don't want to go to that church. It's too hard. I don't want to go there. They tell you the truth there. I don't want to know the truth. By the way, that's what the Bible says will happen in the end days. The Bible says that people would rather listen to fables. That means stories. Stories. They'd rather hear stories. They'd rather hear good anecdotes rather than listening to the truth. Let's not be those people. Let's desire to hear the truth. But God sets. Say that with me again. God sets. God sets the solitary in family. Check this out. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. It says this, but now God has set the members. Who set? God has set the members. It's not just a matter of when you go through our membership thing, which we haven't done in a while, but we will. When you go through the membership thing, you don't just get to say, I'm a member there. We need to agree that you are a member here. Why? Because God sets the members. We don't just get to choose membership. This is not 24-hour fitness. It's God's house. It's God's family. He chooses who's a part of it. God sets the members, each one of them in the body, listen, just as he pleases. As who pleases? So when God sets you as a toilet scrubber because it pleased him, baby, you better be happy about scrubbing the toilets. See, I'm here at 7 o'clock in the morning every single week setting up. You know why? Because that's where God sent me. I'm not even on the schedule, but I'm on the schedule. You know why? Because God set me on the schedule, not Pastor Jolie. She doesn't get to tell me what to do. No. You see, God sets you where it pleases him. So when God tells you that you should serve in this area or that area, oh, I want you to serve in birth believers. I don't even like babies. God's like, and? This is going to be great for your character, isn't it? Oh, by the way, God won't only speak that to women. It's kind of quiet up in here. You guys okay? All right, you're still alive, right? Yep, I'm still thumping. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, listen. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. He is the head, right? There's not multiple bodies. I know that you've probably heard this before. What body do you belong to? I belong to the body. One body. Jesus has one body because he's got one head. Anything with one head and multiple bodies is also a freak. It's not natural. There is one body. Well, then I can go to any church that I want to. Yes, you can, except that God sets people where he wants them. Except that God decides where you go in that body. And if that body happens to be the part that's called the ark, then God has set you here. See, that's why we don't get offended when people leave when God has not called them here, because it's not good for us to have you here. But if God has called you here and you leave, then we mourn over that because God called you to be in a place and you're not going to be in the right spot for you to grow. You can't put a cactus in the rainforest and expect it to grow well. Likewise, you can't take a rainforest tree and stick it in the desert and expect for it to thrive. Our heart and our desire for every single person in this building and those that should be in this building is that they would thrive, that they would grow, and that they would be fruitful in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that? Do you know that there are some trees and stuff that you can put them into kind of like a borderline climate and they'll grow, but they'll never produce fruit? God doesn't want that for us either. He doesn't want marginalized Christians that look like they're growing but never produce fruit. In fact, the Bible says that if we don't, we'll be cut down and thrown into the fire. Can you say amen to that? God knows exactly where he wants us placed in his body. I'm almost done. God knew the exact purpose he placed upon the existence of the Ark Christian Church. Do you know that if God placed you here, that he intended you for you to be a part of and to participate in the purpose of the Ark Christian Church, not merely be an intender? So can I say something like really pastoral? And if you say no, I'm going to say it anyway because I have the microphone. So check it out. If we have something going on, the reason why we have it going on is because we've checked it against the litmus test of our purpose. And we've said, yes, this is absolutely taking us towards our purpose of existing to show the way. And for that reason, we are participating in this activity. We have very few activities on the calendar, and that's not because we're boring, it's because we're on purpose. We have eliminated all competition and all things that take us away from our purpose. Is golfing wonderful? To some people. But golfing doesn't take us necessarily to our purpose. So we don't have a golf ministry. But when it comes to our Birth Believers ministry, why should you participate in it? Any one of us participate in it. Listen. Because it is one of the major ministries of this church that reaches beyond the walls of this church to primarily unsaved people by which we exist to serve by showing the way. Amen. That's why we do it. No, when you come to this church, you don't have to become a breeder. I know that might be a concept. Like, if I come to this church, even if I've gone through menopause, do I need to start bearing children again? No, you don't. But we participate in the process of reaching the lost and showing the way to people that don't know the way. Amen. That's just one way that we do it. What about Life Fit? Why do we do Life Fit? Let me tell you why. Because in just a little while, we're going to open the doors of Life Fit to the people in our community. Because not only is it important to value and to take care of the temple of the Holy Ghost, we don't need the temple of the Holy Ghost being broke down, decrepit, and everything else. We want the temple of the Holy Spirit to be good looking. Now, don't look at me. Just because I'm not good looking or whatever, like, I'm not saying you have to be handsome or pretty. It should be well taken care of. If we're going to live in this body and take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit, we ought to take care of it. And how should we do that? We should demonstrate the way to health and to life and the temple of the Holy Spirit in the world. That's why. Why do we do the Ronald McDonald House? I mean, I could go down the list in everything that we do, and I can tell you why we do it. The Bible says, have an answer for the hope that lies within you. We have an answer for every ministry, everything that we do. Connect groups. Why do we do connect groups? Because a body that is not connected is disintegrated. We need to be integrated, not disintegrated. We need to be connected, not dispersed. We need to be as one, with one heart, with one mind, because the Bible tells us that the world will know us because of our love one for another. But when we don't know each other, you can't love one another. That's why we do connect groups. Why do you do Bible college? Because without that information, without knowing what we know through the Word of God being taught and preached to us, we cannot show the way because we don't know the way. Why do we need Bible college? It's just another thing to do. No. It takes us to our purpose. Because how can you help to seek and to save that which is lost when you can't even give somebody the way to get saved? Because you don't know how to lead them down the Romans road. You see, everything that we do has a purpose. Everything that we do is compared against that thing that we exist to serve by showing the way. You are not meant to be an attender. You are meant to be a participant.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
I know that was a bit pastoral. You guys okay?
Yeah.
So that means that we ought to see you participating in events. It's not because we need you. It's because you need it.
Yeah. Yep.
Why? Because you're a part of this body. Amen?
Amen?
All right, I better stop. You look full. Let me give you two bonus points with two subpoints. Bonus point number one, if you do not know your God-given purpose, first thing that you should do, don't go read a book on purpose first. No. First thing you do, you pray and you ask God to reveal your purpose to you. My purpose, I exist to build the local church. I exist to be submitted to God, especially in building the local church and churches in the nations of the world. You want to know who it is that you're walking with, who you're partnering with, and who's your pastor? That's me. That's why I exist, to be submitted to God, especially in building the local church and churches in other nations of the world. By the way, I hope you know and hopefully you see that I'm walking in my purpose. I didn't start doing it before I wrote it. I started writing it before I started doing it. Number two, you should consider working towards understanding your purpose by going through, and this is just one of many resources that are available out there, but there's a book called The On Purpose Person. It's written by a guy named Kevin W. McCarthy. You can find it on Amazon. I believe it's on free electronic download or something like that. But you should go through that book. If you don't know how to decode the book and go through the book, many of us do. And I hope that you'll reach out to us via our app, email, phone call, text, whatever, and let us know that you need some help going through it. We want you to discover your purpose. Why? So that your life is not hollow and meaningless and obsolete, but so that your life is fulfilled. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many of you want to live a fulfilled life? You must fulfill your purpose. Number two, you should come back next week and discover how to live your purpose inside of the purpose of this house. You want to find out how to do that. And when you come back next week, I hope that God will allow me to tell you exactly that. Let me give you the just one thing that you ought to remember for this week. Just one thing. If you're not going to do anything else, do this. Live in the center of your God-given purpose this week. Remember, everything that you do will take you towards or take you away from your God-given purpose. I challenge you, in every choice that you make this week, choose to go toward your purpose. Let me pray for you today. God, I thank you for the fact that you've given every human being on this planet, both past, present, and future, a purpose, a design, a destiny, and that you orchestrated it, you created it, and you set us where it pleased you. God, I pray that you would give us the fortitude, the stick-to-itiveness, the insight, the wisdom, the revelation, the empowerment, the grace, the anointing, the mercy to walk in that purpose. God, I thank you that you would speak loudly and clearly to those that have been floundering, and that you would help them to know the reason why they exist. Lord, we speak blessing over your people. We speak a blessing over this church. Help us to show the way by our servanthood. We thank you for that, God, and we bless your people in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you allow Pastor Jolie to